Is it something very important?
Am I doing it or are you doing it?
I'll start it.
Oh, then yes, absolutely. I can keep doing what I do and then I'll just...
Hey, that's Mr. Dave.
Yeah, I'm here.
That's me!
Yep.
Okay,
yep.
Yeah, I guess we'll do that.
We have a rhythm.
What's up? This is Movies on Up. The park is open. My podcast partner is on the open side of the table right across me. That's Mr. Dave Bisella.
That's me.
That's Dave. I'm Ryan. We are Movies on Up. The park is open is our tagline for this very special week, which is our third annual Uppy Awards. If you know what movie The Park is Open comes from, we will send you an award-winning prize package if you can send your answer to us in one of the three following ways. Email your guest to us, moviesonup@gmail.com. You can leave your guest on our Facebook page, facebook.com/moviesonup, or tweet your answer to us @moviesonup. If you are correct and if we choose you, we will award you with that prize package. This is, we said it last week, one of the episodes that we look forward to the most throughout the year, and it is sort of... We do a couple previews, summer preview, we do the fall-winter preview, and then we ended up doing like a couple reviews, and they come fast and furious. This week and next week will be sort of reviews. This one is a little bit more fun. We like to try and get a jump on award season. We do all the pick-ems and stuff that I guess you would expect a movie podcast to do, but we also like to do our own version of awards, and we've had... some Chinese folks working on actual Uppy Awards, which we'll send out right with the prize packages to the various actors, actresses, producers, directors that are going to win Uppy Awards this year for the third consecutive year, something that Dave and I both like to do. So if this is your first Uppy Awards podcast, welcome. We hope you have a decent time. This might be the most categories we've ever had. So we're probably going to give away the most Uppy Awards. But we'll give away our first Uppy Awards for the most rebootiest sequel. Booty is maybe an interesting phrase there, because these are, in fact, booty. And your nominees are Jurassic World, Mad Max, Fury Road, Terminator, Genesis, Creed, and Vacation. Dave, the envelope, please, for the most bootiest, rebootiest sequel.
It's Jurassic World. It's got to be Jurassic World.
Yeah, I would think the box office probably backs that up. I mean, this sometimes when we try and figure out these categories, it's, all right, well, what was sort of a theme this year? And certainly reboots, and not just reboots, because obviously Point Break is being rebooted, but it's not a sequel, whereas all these ones really did.
They continue, like in Vacation, it's Rusty,
yes.
It's the kid, you know, Creed, Apollo Creed, Terminator. It's a continuation, but then also they relaunched it.
Absolutely. Not only is it our first category, but it's our first bit of Uppy's controversy, as there's a big snub, blatant by its absence, and that would be The Force Awakens. I would consider that a rebooty sequel, too.
See, I consider that a sequel. I'm not considering it a reboot.
Really?
Not really.
Really? Because we're going back to the original characters.
Yeah, but I think it's more of a direct sequel. It's a continuation of that story, whereas
certainly
Jurassic World...
Continuation of that story.
Kind of. You can skip the first three Jurassic Parks and go into World and be okay. You could skip Rockies and go into Creed and be fine. Do you want to skip 4, 5, and 6 and then watch 7? Like, will it mean as much?
I don't know. All right, maybe it's just a controversy in my head.
Next category is The License to Thrill, our best spy movie of 2015. The nominees are Spy, Spectre, and Kingsman, The Secret Service.
I feel like these are three that are on opposite ends of the spectrum. Obviously, two of them I feel like are spoofs of Bond movies. So you have the Bond film and then sort of the two spoofs of
it. Two of them are some of my favorite movies of this year as well.
And I'm guessing it's probably keeping with a theme. You've still yet to have seen a Bond movie. So I'm going to guess you haven't seen Spectre. I've seen all three of these. That's why I feel particularly able to say that Kingsman is the License to Thrill Uppie Award winner of this year. Kingsman, we love some Vaughn, so I don't think that's necessarily a giant surprise that this movie were to win, but I was surprised that Kingsman was as good as it was. As an action movie, it's great. As a spy spoof, it's great. As a comedy, it's great.
As like a comic booky movie.
Yeah, comic booky in the way that Kick-Ass was a comic booky movie. There's nothing that this movie doesn't do well.
I love Matthew Vaughn. I don't know that I can think of another director that I've loved every movie he's made as much as I do Matthew Vaughn. I wasn't excited about Kingsman.
Like, I wasn't either.
Leading up to it, like, I'm not a fan of the books, the plot, the everything. It didn't sound like anything I'd be into, but it's one of my favorite movies of the year, and next week it's going to be pretty high up there, I'm sure.
It will.
It just blows my mind how good this movie was.
And maybe it's just, I mean, obviously for me, Spectre, coming off of Skyfall, expectations are quite literally sky high, and I liked Spectre. I thought it was a good movie. It's probably my third favorite of the newer Bond movies, and Spy was one that I just looked at, and I was like, ugh. I mean, the faces I would make. But that actually ended up being really funny, too. We may talk about it again later. But was it funnier than Kingsman? Maybe in parts. But Kingsman was just low expectations, and it absolutely just knocked my socks off. Our third category is the best movie that makes you glad that you have kids so you don't feel weird going to an afternoon matinee. This is a category maybe specifically tailored towards Dave, because of the two of us, he's the only one with kids that he acknowledges. So, Dave, the winner of this award, Minions, Inside Out, Home, or Ted 2?
It's Minions. I realize that movie people didn't get into and that they were tired. I liked it. It's not as good as The Despicable Me's. I still enjoyed it. Inside Out, it's good. Like,
yeah.
It's good, but it's way different than I, at home, I hate. Like, I don't like Jim Parsons, Rihanna. Like, it's a dumb enough kids movie. Like, my kids like it. I'm glad movies like this exist, because not everything has to be Inside Out. So I do enjoy the dumb kids movies that I could just throw on in the background. I like Minions, though. I legit love Minions.
I don't know. I mean, this is America. I don't know what red-blooded American wouldn't like the Minions. I mean, what the hell's wrong with you as a person if you don't like the Minions? How can you not laugh at that? If you're 6, if you're 60, if you're 600, they're just enjoyable little fellas.
I enjoyed them, and I liked the movie. I thought it was cute.
I liked Inside Out, too, but good, because you know that when it comes to best animated feature, there's no way Minions is going to beat Inside Out. It's not going to happen.
Oh, no.
There's another award show that happens in February that people watch or whatever.
Yeah, I don't think anything's touched Inside Out.
No, I don't think so. But I'm glad that we were able to give the Minions an uppie.
And I'm glad Peanuts wasn't nominated. That movie sucked. That sucked
probably why
so
it wasn't nominated.
Bad. Next category is the Domi Arigato Award, the best performance by a robot in a motion picture. The nominees are Alicia Vikander from Ex Machina, Sholto Copley from Chappie, Paul Bettany in Age of Ultron, and Arnold in Terminator Genisys.
It doesn't matter how many names you have on here, because really the first name is the winner. It's Vikander. Ex Machina was a really great movie. And as much as I like Chappie. I know you hate it. We've had that discussion before. I thought he was really, really good in the movie. I feel like I've seen that character before, kind of. I mean, it is a lot of Johnny Five, and I love Johnny Five. But what Vikander did in Ex Machina was so different, and it was such an interesting character. You don't even really want to call her a robot. It was like this being.
AI.
Sort of.
Yeah,
exactly. And seeing her arc and her motivations was phenomenal. And this is our really introduction to this actress. And now she's everywhere. And
she's going to be over the next couple of years.
Absolutely. And you see this movie. Of course, if she can do this, what can she not do? You see a lot of her in this movie. And I am certainly excited to see more.
She's far and away. The beginning part of the year was good for robots. Chappie. But then Ex Machina and then Humans on AMC was a phenomenal show, also about sexy robots.
We'll keep it all in the family here. Things that Dave and I probably liked when we were seven and still like. From robots to dinosaurs. That'd be our best performance by a dinosaur in a motion picture. Your nominees are the Indominus Rex from Jurassic World, Arlo from The Good Dinosaur, and Sylvester Stallone from Creed. The winner, please.
This is an upset.
Coming
out of nowhere, the giant water dinosaur in Jurassic World wins this one in a landslide.
In a
unanimous
tidal wave?
Yes, in a tidal wave.
Yeah, it's unanimous. I think all of these awards are unanimous because only one of us is voting on them.
Yeah, because I do like that dinosaur. I didn't like Jurassic. I could go on about Jurassic World.
I think we did.
We might have. It got better on a second viewing, but it's still not.
Because you already knew what to expect, and your expectations weren't as high as they were going
exactly,
in the first time.
Exactly, yes. But I do really like that dinosaur in the water. The Watersaurus.
Yeah, the Watersaurus Rex, for sure.
The next category is Sexiest Performance of 2015, and your nominees are Tom Hardy from Mad Max Fury Road, Tom Hardy as one of the twins in Legend, Tom Hardy co-starring with Leonardo DiCaprio in The Revenant, Tom Hardy as the other twin in Legend, and Michael Fassbender in Steve Jobs. And the winner is?
Well, it's Tom Hardy, of course. I'm going to go with one of the Krays. I mean, take your pick. That's such a cool story. And I've been told it's sort of a remake of an older English movie just called The Krays, which is supposedly really, really good. I'm trying to track that down sort of as we speak. But I was not a big fan of Mad Max at all. I wanted to like it.
Same here.
Yeah.
He was really good looking in that movie, though.
Yeah, fair enough. Hardy's such a great actor. I love the fact that he got to play two characters in a movie. I would absolutely watch Michael Fassbender play two characters in a movie. They're just guys that are that good, have that much range, that, of course, I would watch that.
The Kray twins are so different.
Mm-hmm.
That it gives him that opportunity to do stuff. And, yeah, I can't argue with you as the winner there.
I kind of feel like you set me up to pick Tom Hardy there. As big as an upset as the Watersaurus Rex was, who wasn't even nominated, it was a write-in, I guess. I feel like Michael Fassbender would have been just as big of an upset. I'm not sure there is a favorite to win our next award, which is the Dave Bissella Memorial Young Adult Books on Up Award. Dave from Another Life was very much into young adult literature, and I not nearly as much as he used to be, but I still love having this category in there because I'm not sure that he's seen any of these movies or read any of the books. So we're going to make him choose between the following films: Me, Earl, and the Dying Girl, Paper Towns, The Hunger Games: Mockingjay 2, The Maze Runner: Scorch Trials, The Divergent series: Insurgent, and 50 Shades of Grey.
This one, we're taking the Lord of the Rings route.
The Lifetime Achievement Award?
The Lifetime Achievement Award. It is The Hunger Games, Mockingjay Part 2. Brings an end to that series. Sad to see it go. I love me some Katniss. There was a video put up a couple weeks ago of somebody putting in PETA and cutting a bunch of clips of her saying PETA and then having a PETA on the screen. So that alone wins that movie the award, I believe. Insurgent was a mess of a movie. Have you seen Insurgent yet?
No.
Because I know you...
I saw the first one.
You pleasantly
liked
Divergent.
Yeah.
Divergent,
yeah,
I don't...
I pleasantly like Shailene Woodley.
Yeah, Divergent wasn't terrible. Insurgent made no sense. Insurgent was just bad.
Oh, good.
I didn't see Scorch Trials, even though I did like Maze Runner.
I've heard that's really bad, though.
It doesn't surprise me. Yeah. But Maze Runner, I thought, was really good. So
Mockingjay was... As somebody that didn't read the books... I had seen all the movies, so I was like, all right, yes, let's see how this ends. Let's see who Katniss ends up with. I mean, that's the kind of shit I worry about, is a 31-year-old man. Like, is she going to pick PETA or is she going to go with Gale? I got to know. What you would expect from The Hunger Games, it's got the love triangle that's become so synonymous with that movie. It's got the action. So I have no problem with that winning. I also have no problem with The Hunger Games being over now. I think that one kind of peaked for me at the first one. Never quite reached it again.
I thought Catching Fire was Catching Fire was my least favorite of the books.
Which one is that?
Second one.
Okay.
The next category, most adorable duo. Speaking of PETA and Gale, most adorable.
Don't think
duo.
They're nominated.
Rebel Wilson and Adam Devine for Pitch Perfect 2. Melissa McCarthy and Jude Law from Spy. Kiersey Clemons and Donnie Revolori from Dope. Kevin Stewart and Bob from The Minions. O'Shea Jackson and Corey Hawkins from Straight Outta Compton. And Emilia Clarke, and it doesn't matter who's on screen with her at all in Terminator Genisys.
I don't feel like this is a surprise. We're talking about the most adorable duo, and the most adorable duo on this list is a trio. It's Kevin Stewart and Bob, the Minions. They win everything, damn it.
Yeah, I can't argue that.
Good, I'm glad. I don't think we're going to have any argument over our next category either, because much like the Dave Bissella Memorial Young Adult Books on Up Award, this category is Dave-specific as well, and it is our best foreign film. And by foreign film, we just mean movie from the UK, because as far as Dave's concerned, that's the only other country.
That little country called the UK.
Yes, that's the only one that makes movies. So the nominees are Kill Your Friends, Lady in the Van, and The Hallow. The winner.
Kill Your Friends. This has a filth type feel to it. Our back-to-back Movies on Up Movie of the Year winner. Kill Your Friends, very cool. Nicholas Holt. It's a very British movie.
Filth might be, spoiler alert, leader in the clubhouse, so maybe three-peat for best movie of the last year.
I am for it. I just rewatched it again last week for like the 20th time.
I'm pretty sure it won't be, though.
Stay tuned. Our next category, Best Creeper. Speaking of James McAvoy in
Filth. Yeah.
Michael Ealy, The Perfect Guy. Joel Edgerton in The Gift. Ryan Guzman in The Boy Next Door. And Mark Duplass in Creep.
I feel like this is another category where, much like Verkander's win for Best Performance by a Robot, it's like, you know what? The three guys that are going to lose, you did a great job. Any other year, you'd probably win. But as far as Creeps go, it didn't get any bigger than The Creep from Creep, Mark Duplass. That movie is so fucking uncomfortable. That scene with him in the bathtub, the tubby scene, I mean, it wins the award right there. That's a walk-off. The movie could have ended there. That's great.
And it's Mark Duplass, who is one of the, as far as people on screen go, he's probably one of the most naturally likable guys.
Non-threatening.
And he's just so creepy in this movie.
It's a slow burn, but it's worth it's worth watching for his performance. There's not a lot else going on in this movie. No. You're going to want to make sure your windows are locked and there isn't a Duplass outside or inside your house.
Stay off of Craigslist.
Yeah. And I guess the parts of Creep, I guess, could be considered scary. It is not a nominee for our best horror movie, but these four films are What We Do in the Shadows, It Follows, Cooties, and The Final Girls. Of the horror movies that came out this year, and there were a decent amount, these are not the mainstream ones that you would expect, but they're four that are really, really good.
And I enjoy all of them. But the winner, The Final Girls, for me. I thought it was great. I thought it was a fantastic take on horror movies. Cooties was really funny. But The Final Girls takes the cake here.
I mean, there was some humor in three out of the four of these.
Yeah.
I would say it's an upset.
Because It Follows is probably the consensus pick, because that broke into the mainstream.
I wouldn't say so.
I mean,
maybe for everybody else,
but not
in the room.
Yeah. I mean, you take out the last 15 minutes, it probably stands a better shot. But
certainly. I loved Adam Devine in this movie.
Yeah.
Much like Lee Wannell.
And Cooties.
And Cooties, yeah. Those guys were very, very funny, and they were sort of the standouts from each of those. Malin Ackerman, really good in The Final Girls.
I thought everybody was good.
And Vera Farmiga's daughter, right?
Tessa? Is that her daughter? I know they have the same last name.
We'll effort that.
And then Thomas Middleditch was, like, I think.
Oh, shit. No, that's her sister.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
I was going to say, she didn't seem old enough to
Jesus.
Have a daughter.
Well, she's 21 years younger.
Oh, is she that much?
Yeah, I had assumed it was, because they looked the same. I had assumed that was her daughter, but it is not.
You learn something new every day.
You do.
About Vera Farmiga.
Yes, you're welcome.
Next category is best movie you won't tell a girl you saw on opening night. The nominees are Jurassic World, Avengers, Age of Ultron, Ant-Man, or 50 Shades of Grey.
This is a tough one. I mean, all four of these movies did very, very well at the box office. So if you saw it opening night, any of these, there's a good chance that you sat in the theater with a ton of other people. So for certain, I guess to a certain extent, there's nothing to be ashamed about, in quotations. But as far as actually best movie goes, the best of those four, I think, is Avengers 2. It's certainly not Jurassic World, and it certainly isn't 50 Shades of Grey. So it really comes down to the Marvel stuff. And as much as I liked Ant-Man, I think I just liked Avengers 2 a little bit more. And what's kind of a toss-up, in some instances, how high can the stakes continually go? In an Avengers movie, pretty much the fate of the world is always on the line, and that's why it's an Avengers movie and not just an Iron Man movie or fill in the blank. And Ant-Man was great. I love that Paul Rudd is a Marvel superhero now. I love that Andy Dwyer is a Marvel superhero now. That makes me very, very happy. And for what Ant-Man was, I liked it. I thought Michael Paine was really funny in that movie. I guess what I'm going to remember about this year, I may remember that Ant-Man and Avengers 2 came out the same year, but I'm going to remember much, much more from Avengers. I think that made a bigger impact, left a bigger footprint in my head, so that's why it wins.
See, I'm the other way around. I liked Ant-Man more.
Well, since I got to choose the last one, I will leave you with the choice of our this might be the... No, I was going to say it's probably not the snarkiest category that we have, but it's up there. It is the least surprising bomb. And those nominees are Seventh Son, The Last Witch Hunter, Jupiter Ascending, and Tomorrowland.
I think this one's a no-brainer. I mean, something like Seventh Son has been pushed back like 3 or 4 years, so that's not surprising at all. But when you take a movie that's slotted for prime summer release and then you move it to dumping grounds of March, and it's directed by the Wachowskis, I mean, that's screaming failure right there. Jupiter Ascending is the runaway winner here.
I kind of feel like three of the four of these, they're perfect additions to this category because it's the least, the one
Tomorrowland's the only one that I think is, that was could have won either way.
Yeah, that one was sort of surprising. The other three, for sure, you knew were going to be stinkers and weren't going to make any money. I actually kind of feel like this year it was harder to find nominees for movies that were guaranteed to flop. I mean, the first three were easy. They jumped to your mind immediately.
A couple snubs on this. Fantastic Four, everybody kind of had a feeling. But there was hope. I thought the one trailer was good.
Yeah.
And then Jim and the Holograms. That was out of theaters within 2 weeks.
Yeah, there was some that I really wanted to do, but they made too much money. So I really couldn't call it a bomb. Or they were really, really successful overseas. So it's like, well, Jesus, they still ended up making $50 million, so it's hard to call that a bomb.
From the least surprising bomb, on the other end of the spectrum, the most surprising moneymaker, something that made way more money than anybody thought would. The nominees are Jurassic World, Home, Kingsman, The Secret Service, and Paddington.
You can make the argument for a couple movies on here. I'm going to give it to Jurassic World. I'm not surprised that it made a lot of money.
Surprised it made that much money.
$652 million, yes. I remember having an argument in April with one of my buddies about Star Wars. Is it going to make enough money to depose Avengers? Is it going to make Avengers money? Is it going to make more than the Avengers? And I thought, dude, that's going to be really, really tough. But to have another movie the same year do it? No way did I see that happening.
No, I expected it to do well.
Yeah.
But I didn't expect it to open that strong, and I didn't expect it to hold that strong.
Shit. I mean, only two movies in the history of movies have made more money.
Yeah.
So, I mean, had it not been for that, I think Paddington was one that would have surprised
me. Because who cares about Paddington?
Some people did, apparently.
Like that one would have been, outside of Jurassic World, that would have been my second place.
Yeah, absolutely.
Paddington's a character that over here means nothing, and it didn't look good.
No, it didn't, but for whatever.
You had your star back out, like, after the first trailer came out.
Which is never usually a good sign, but how crazy Jurassic World ended up being, I think that one that one wins. A close race, I guess. A close race to the top. These movies all made a significant amount of money. Our next category would be a race to the bottom. It is our biggest number two. Biggest number two, get it? A worst sequel. The nominees for that prestigious award are The Maze Runner, The Scorch Trials, Paul Blart, Mall Cop 2, Magic Mike XXL, Insidious Chapter 3, Sinister Chapter 2, and The Woman in Black 2, The Angel of Death. I imagine you can see a little bit of a pattern there. But Dave, what was the worst of the sequels?
It is the worst sequel to the worst movie of the originals of this. It is Paul Blart, Mall Cop 2.
Yeah, I don't even think we really need much of an explanation with that one.
Nope. So
nope, moving right along.
If it's a movie that very well should have been nominated for this next category, worst movie of the year, the nominees are Pixels, Fantastic Four, or Aloha.
If you would have told me at the beginning of 2015 that when we were to sit down and do the uppies, that nominees for worst movie would include Aloha and Fantastic Four, I'd have been like, really? Have you seen who's involved with these movies? Like, are you kidding me? But as it turns out, they've all sucked. Pixels, I wouldn't have been surprised. If you tell me that Adam Sandler is involved at this point, I'm just going to pencil it in for worst movie, and I'm not going to be the only one to do that. But I'm going to have to give it to Fantastic Four. And it's partially because of the movie, and it's partially because of all the drama that went with the director. I remember being at Celebration in April, being so excited to see Josh Trank was supposed to be there to talk about his new Star Wars movie, only to find out that morning that, no, he's sick. He's not going to be there.
And within a week, he's removed. It's announced that he's removed from the...
Exactly, because of the mess that was Fantastic Four. I mean, it was a mess on the screen. It was a mess off the screen. So that movie, I believe, earned the worst movie of the year. I've been kind of trying to alternate so it doesn't just get, like, real sad and real depressing and us just, like, shitting on everything consecutively. So I try to, like, here's a positive category, here's a negative category, here's a positive one again. And it is right down Dave's wheelhouse. And it is the most bonery trailer. And I'm not sure what version of any of these trailers, well, one trailer specifically, what version you're talking about, but just fill in the one you like the best. The nominees are Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens, Captain America, The Civil War, and a surprise nomination, Legion. Or not a surprise.
Bazookas versus Angels.
Yeah, if you've ever listened to this show before, that's the winner, I assume.
No, Star Wars. That most recent Star Wars, I get goosebumps thinking about it. And yeah. You know what? Every Star Wars trailer so far, but the most recent one with where Boyega lights up the lightsaber at the end, mm-hmm. Everything about it. Obviously, I've seen the movie by now because it came out a couple weeks ago,
right?
And it was worth it. But even after seeing the movie a couple weeks ago, I still get chills thinking of seeing that trailer for the first time.
Literally every trailer that I've ever seen for this movie, going back to the first big one that was released in April, we were all camped out in Anaheim to stuff ourselves into an auditorium to see when everybody else saw it. Probably about 30 seconds later, literally this entire category could just be like that Star Wars trailer, the next one, the following one, the most recent one. And they've all, I don't know that it's possible, but they've all gotten better. So
And my favorite from the last one, the most recent one, like the last full trailer, Daisy Ridley and John Boyega both put up Instagram videos of them watching that trailer for the first time. And they're two of the most adorable videos you'll ever see. And I love both of those people. Never seen Daisy Ridley in anything. I adore her, though. Like, I can't wait to fall in love with her in this movie because something, like, she seems so sweet, and I can't wait. And I love Boyega from Attack the Block. So to see his profile get this big, I'm very, very excited about. Our next award one of my favorite awards of the year. It is the annual Worthless Worthington Award. This goes out to the leading man that is the most bland and pointless and is not putting anybody in the seats. This week it was tough. I didn't have any obvious that came to mind. I got it narrowed down to two, both that I knew mostly from TV that tried to transition into leading man. But one of them gets the nod because he took over a franchise that did have recognition. And the Worthless Worthington Award winner this year is Ed Skrein from Transporter Refueled. I can't see this guy headlining movies. You took this franchise that had Jason Statham's charm and charisma that carried it through three movies, and then you replace it with Ed Skrein, who I didn't even like. I was so ecstatic that they replaced him on Game of Thrones because I just did not like him on that. The other nominee would have been Rupert Friend in Hitman, but nobody expected Agent 47 to do good. And the work he's doing on Homeland is so good that I can't give him anything negative.
But we can nominate him, which is negative enough.
Yeah, so Ed Skrein is this year. I think Colin Lutz was last year.
Probably, and yeah. Sam Worthington might have been the first year with awards named after him, or maybe it wasn't. It was Armie Hammer.
I don't remember.
I feel like if Armie Hammer hasn't won.
Actually, you know what? Co-winner.
Uh-oh.
Co-winner. Sorry, Skrein, because this just popped in my head.
You have to share it.
Co-winner, Henry Cavill and
Ben Affleck.
Armie Hammer. For Men from U.N.C.L.E. or whatever.
Yes, the Man from U.N.C.L.E.
So that's the winner for this year.
Fair enough. Again, in me trying to navigate the highs and the lows, normally the Oscars save Best Picture for last. We have it towards the end, but it is not our favorite or most prestigious award. But it is time to give the trophy, the uppy, for Best Picture. And the nominees are, we have slightly less than the Academy has. We have just three. And they are Pitch Perfect 2, Digging for Fire, and The Voices. Dave, the envelope, please.
It's Pitch Perfect 2.
Of course it is.
I told you last year's uppies that Pitch Perfect 2 was going to be the winner this year. And I was right.
Yeah, I mean, it's maybe slightly not above board when we predict what's going to win and we're the ones that have the sole responsibility for the outcome. But yeah, you should have just listened to us. And I can guarantee you that when Pitch Perfect 3 comes out, that'll probably win Best Picture that year too, because they're amazing.
Next category.
Speaking
is,
of Pitch Perfect 2.
Is our second annual Anna Kendrick Lifetime Achievement Award. And this goes to the Anna Kendrickest Anna Kendrick in the world. And the winner for the second year in a row is Anna Kendrick.
Wow, unprecedented. It's like filth winning Best Picture. back-to-back years, because there was no Pitch Perfect that we could have given the award to. The placeholder. So, yeah, Anna Kendrick, congratulations for being a two-time. She's probably, oh, no, that's not even true. She's won more than two uppies. That's not even. That's
she's
not
won
accurate.
Two Lifetime Achievement Annual.
Yeah,
she's
which is
won
more.
Two
Lifetime Achievement Awards, which is more than most people win in their lifetime. Mm-hmm. So good for her.
Yeah. Spoiler, she'll probably win next year, too.
Yeah, the strong money is on her. I would also back her heavily for our next category, which is Best Performance. I guess this would be like if you took Best Actor, Supporting Actor, Actress, and Supporting Actress and rolled them all into one giant award. Of all the performances this year, this is the one that stood out to Dave and I the most, and it should surprise you the least. It is Anna Kendrick from Pitch Perfect 2. She nailed it.
She did. She Aka nailed it. And we have a first annual award. Like, this is the first year we're giving away. This is the first annual almost Anna Kendrick award. This goes to...
Did Anna Kendrick win this one?
Not yet.
We'll have to figure a way to make that happen.
This is for somebody who, if something happened and Anna Kendrick was removed from this planet, say they colonize Mars and she goes and she moves to Mars to create a perfect breed of humans.
She could still win awards here.
Who would replace her to get our affection? And the winner of the first annual Almost Anna Kendrick Award is Brie Larson. She's adorable. She's funny. And she's in the past few years is putting forward some of the
good performances.
Between Short Term 12 and Room, my Lord, she is putting out some of the best acting performances we've seen in a long, long time, and being completely adorable along the way.
And that brings us to not that there's the Anna Kendrick Awards are not prestigious, because they are. If you've listened to this podcast for more than 5 minutes, you're well aware that there's not really a higher place in our hearts, our collective hearts, for anyone other than Anna Kendrick. But this is sort of the crown jewel of the Uppie Awards, and it is the James McAvoy Memorial Award. Past winners include
James McAvoy,
of course.
Channing Tatum,
Taylor Kitsch won last year, the defending champion, for his work.
And then he lost it this year with True Detective 2.
I don't think that was his fault. I really don't. But this year, this I went outside of the box. Most often when people win the James McAvoy Award, they win it for their performances on screen. This individual won it for his performance off the screen. But I was able to give him the award this year for his performance in a film, and I'm going to have to call in some help to announce the winner of the 2016 James McAvoy Memorial Award.
Murder of St. Vincent, St. Mary High School, in Akron, Ohio, number 23, LeBron.
LeBron was in a movie this year, Trainwreck. There's no way in hell that two guys that are into the Cavs almost as much as we're into Anna Kendrick are not going to give LeBron an award for Trainwreck. That movie, not necessarily as good as I had hoped or as I thought it was going to be, but I thought LeBron nailed it. He was really good. John Cena
was...
Him and
Cena were the highlights of that movie.
Absolutely. And Cena's a guy that probably could have won that award. But when you really get down to the spirit of the James McAvoy Award, it's for somebody that we hated and now have grown to love.
See, and I think that's...
And LeBron is a man that I hated for years.
And see, this is more relevant to you because I still loved LeBron. I followed LeBron to Miami and watched him and enjoyed seeing him win titles.
Well, I am responsible for giving this award.
Yeah, so this is all you on this. But I did love him in Trainwreck, and it is good to have him back to where you love him again, just like I do.
I can use his name now.
Yeah, so I can't argue this, even though, like, I'll give it this to you this year. I'll give it to you this year. But, yeah, I'm excited to see who wins next year. And will next year finally be the year that Jai Courtney gets – it's Jai Courtney's right there, and it's like, oh, he's got to win the Worthless Worthington. Like, he has to, right? Not yet. Will he next year? He was close with Terminator Genesis.
Will he win it next year, or will he win – the James McAvoy Award? I feel like there's
I don't dislike Jai Courtney. I am the guy in the world that doesn't dislike Jai Courtney.
I feel like there's an equal likelihood that he wins either. Yeah. Like, he's either going to like make a movie where we're like, holy shit, like, this guy is actually much more talented than we think, or he's going to continue to make the movies that make him, that make us think and the rest of the world, oh, this guy sucks.
Yeah, because he was competent enough as Kyle Reese in Terminator Genesis, but he was next to Emilia Clarke, and I can't say anything negative about that movie with
the Mother of Dragons.
Yes.
So that's it for our Movies on Up Awards. I mean, probably a little predictable in some of the categories. Hopefully you had some fun with that. That's also it for 2015 as a fiscal year, as Dave put it. Hopefully you've had some fun with us this year. It's been these last couple episodes are always our favorite to do, the Uppies. And next week's episode, which will be up a little bit late because of the holiday, Dave and I tend to watch a ton of movies over Christmas because we don't like...
I have nothing else to do.
Right, we don't like family. So... there's a lot of movies that we missed, that we really wanted to see, that were missed in 2015. So in December, we plow through a bunch of stuff. And we look forward to getting back together, kind of getting back in the saddle early on in the year and giving our favorite movies of 2015. So I'm sure we're going to see some over the next couple weeks after we record this episode that we'll be really looking forward to talk to you about for our favorites of 2015. One of those... probably involves a light laser sword or some robot guys.
Some of them were probably mentioned in this episode.
Some of them probably, I'm sure some of them were. We did talk about Pitch Perfect a little bit. So see how highly that ranks on our list when we're back with you next week. I guess Merry Christmas is appropriate. Happy New Year is also appropriate.
And thank you for another year. Like, this was our third full year doing it. We'll hit 4 years in May. And I know there have been people that have been there with us from the beginning. And
you
thank
people
you.
Are saints.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for anybody that's jumped on in 2015. Thanks for anybody that's went back and listened to previous years. We really do appreciate it. And here's to hoping for another year for another Uppies next year.
Yeah, Jai Courtney's hoping for one for sure. But until then,
keep it up.